Movie, film, 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 film,
bring you the 100th episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick flicks and decide if they're movies or films.
We've already done it 99 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. I'm Nate, and midnight, the lone alien stands before a naked sky. The mood is tense. My hair looks great.
Mm. And I'm Terrell, and this isn't about fighting wars. It's about ending them.
Oh, I don't know.
Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, how'd they do?
How they did it.
And ending.
They ended the war. No, they didn't end it.
Mm.
No. It just, no. And yours?
Muppets from Space.
Ooh, Muppets from Space. Okay.
Yeah, I guess a lot of intergalactic
Yeah, a lot of space picks, travel.
Because
yeah.
We're doing Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are we doing Men in Black for episode 100, as a glorious way to celebrate our entry into triple digit episode territory, but also, we're doing it all month.
All month? Yes.
We're talking next week, Men in Black 2, special Valentine's Day presentation.
Yeah, there is a love story in here, guys.
Yeah. Third week, Men in Black 3. Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought?
And then, a movie neither of us have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing both of us will hate. Men in Black International.
International, that's right. You guessed right. It is Men in Black History Month. Woo! Black History! Awesome. This is how we choose to celebrate here on the podcast.
Yeah, we asked a couple months ago if anyone had ideas for episode 100. No one got back to us.
No one spoke up, so this is what you get. This is what you get when you don't speak up.
No, I'm very excited. we've done franchise movies or films before, but we've never gotten this opportunity to really go deep on a franchise and all of the mythology and lore involved with that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Men in Black, great first one.
Yeah, it is. It's the best one, in fact.
But before we get into that, I watched a lot of Alien movies.
You did?
You did.
You had a...
You did, too.
I did as well.
Let's talk about some of them.
Okay.
Or some other stuff. Did you watch any non-Alien movies?
Yeah.
That you want to talk about? We could start there.
I watched Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I watched Howl's Moving Castle.
Fantasy, but no aliens.
No aliens. Lots of witchcraft and all that. But we did Miyazaki like 2 weeks ago or so with Princess Mononoke. Go check that out. It's an awesome episode. And I didn't get to it in time. And so I just happened to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Did you watch the sub or the dub?
I watched the dub.
Dub, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's like.
No, that's the one I've seen.
Okay, it didn't bother me. It looked okay.
I mean,
the setting.
I'm just curious what the Billy Crystal character is like.
Oh.
Because it's very Billy Crystal.
I really want to watch the sub just so I can hear that character's voice and see how that's done.
And I feel like not even the voice, just that whole essence. Like Billy Crystal plays, for those who haven't seen it, a flame.
Yeah.
An anthropomorphic flame.
Mm-hmm.
And he really makes it his own.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I've noticed in other Miyazaki dubs where it's like, this actor's really doing this actor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get Billy Crystal, you get Billy Crystal.
You're gonna get Billy Crystal. You're gonna get Mike Wazowski.
What'd you think about it's an out there story.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
I was really drawn in. Like,
yeah.
When... Because she's just, like, this quiet...
Speaking of Monsters, Inc., with the doors being entry points, like portals. Oh, yeah.
I really like that. But, I was just really concerned. Like, I'm going to spoil a little, I guess. When she was turned... When the young protagonist was turned into an old lady, I got so scared. I was like, oh, no, I almost don't want to watch this anymore. I know, crazy, right? I was just like, oh no, like, I'm just like scared about the journey, but the journey was just really sweet, like most of his stories are.
Yeah.
And it was just about, you know, falling in love and love being the answer, pretty much. Anytime she like spoke from the heart, like her truth, she would like get younger. It was very interesting to see, and like very interesting characters, the protagonists, how the flame, the little apprentice that would he dropped his phone, guys. The little apprentice that would like grow his beard out whenever he would like go see people. That was like really funny. I enjoyed it. Oh, and the witch of the ways, just being just like this really like gratuitous, like greedy person that is just like a slug almost. And like that sequence where like she couldn't get up the stairs, but she was just like, I've waited 50 years for this, and she's just like sweating profusely. Oh, it's so good. And then to see her turn from like this like fabulous big evil woman to just like this really like small little like,
yeah,
old woman who's just like pretty flame. It's just great character development. Everyone had like a really nice arc in Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautifully drawn too.
Yeah. Just like,
can't say that enough with his movies.
Really great landscape. He just has an eye. And also while I was watching, I was just like, he has to have like a set designer. Because there's so much detail to like the set and the house, and just like little archways and like windows and just like pattern. There's just like so much detail. Like, he has to have a team that's just like, okay, so this here.
Yeah, you can't just Google moving castle and just copy what everyone else is doing.
Yeah. What did you watch?
I watched exclusively Alien.
Okay, we can jump into it.
Or, like, one was Alien adjacent. But I began kind of soft with Velvet Goldmine.
Mm-hmm.
Been watching a lot of Todd Haynes films. And had to get this one in. It's a loosely... Well, they don't even use his name, so I guess it's, like, not even loose. But it's, like, based on David Bowie, but, like, different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that whole scene, but it literalizes the whole David Bowie's an alien thing.
Interesting.
Not in like a heavy sci-fi thing, more of just like adding some texture and Todd Haynes tells stories much differently than most filmmakers. So the incorporation of the alien stuff is more like ambient almost, if that makes sense. It's there, but it's also just like emotion and time and just people not being understood.
Mm-hmm.
And Toni Collette's in it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and speaking of Howl's Moving Castle, because Christian Bale is the dub of Howl, he plays Arthur Stewart, and it was really cool to see him play a queer man. Just young Christian Bale being gay with Ewan McGregor and Jonathan Rhys Meyers also in there.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, great stuff.
Sounds like a good cast.
Yeah, and and really good music. Like, it's all like, or most of it was like new songs, but trying to make it sound like from that period, and I think they really nailed it.
Mm-hmm. He was really great, Christian Bale and Howl's Moon Castle as Howl. Like, when that scene where you're like, he's throwing the tantrum, and he's just like, if I can't be pretty, I'd rather die. And then the shadows start closing in. I was like, oh yeah, so dramatic.
I followed up Velvet Goldmine, just, I'll speak on this very briefly, just because I go in and out of a Bowie thing, so I watched this and then just was thrust right back in. So I had to revisit The Man Who Fell to Earth, in which David Bowie plays an alien, based on the It's based on a book by the guy who wrote The Queen's Gambit also. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to revisit after having seen that miniseries. The Velvet Goldmine has better Bowie music. Well, there's no Bowie music in The Man Who Fell to Earth, which is like really unfortunate because he's there and his presence is so...
Does he sing in it?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Is it musical at all?
Yeah, there's music in it. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get his... the behind the scenes, like he couldn't get the music in time. He was so focused on the acting and the performance.
Okay.
Later, he ended up adapting the book to the stage. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the last things he did. And he wrote the original music for that.
Okay.
But no, it's just this really cool 70s sci-fi movie that Rip Torn is in, who's in Men in Black. And is better the second time. Because there's some wonky stuff that like I didn't care about at all when I was watching it the first time. Because mm-hmm. It wasn't like cool alien stuff. It was like patent law and other things. But no, the second time it definitely gelled more. And David Bowie's just incredible. And the only thing that was alien adjacent was the concert movie Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which I was jamming out to. And pretty intimate concert movie where you get the backstage David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. I'd never seen a full performance of his, and he was quite a performer.
Awesome. I haven't either. Well, I watched something. It's the first thing I watched after The Watermelon Woman. That gave me a bit of joy when I watched it. It's called Psycho Gorman, which is right on theme. It's about this alien that is not named Psycho Gorman until this little girl gets control of him.
Was it the Ambassador of Nightmares?
Yeah, something? It's like the Ambassador of Dark Shadows or something like that. And he's just like this evil overlord who wants to like destroy all the light in the universe. But this little girl gets control of him by controlling this, by having possession of this gem. And so she gets to like pretty much play with him like a toy almost and like torment her brother and whoever else she doesn't like.
I watched this too. Actually, you asked me if I wanted to watch it, yeah. And I hadn't heard of it and didn't know what you were talking about.
Mm.
So I passed, and then I looked it up the next day and said, I want to watch this.
Yeah.
You had already watched it, but you watched it again.
I watched it again.
That is the plot of Psycho Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it should be stated, like, the feel of it
is
that it's just like a Disney Channel original movie, but...
Gore.
Rated R.
Yeah.
Like, it goes hard.
Yeah.
But it has the exact vibe of... I mean, they call Psycho Gorman PG for short.
Yeah.
Poking fun at that kind of PG storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
This is so funny.
It's so funny. It's so fun.
The creature designs are great.
Mm-hmm.
Good effects. The TV bleeding at one point.
Yeah, when he's, like, trying to communicate with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like the Power Rangers. When we started it, I explained Star Kid. It, and you were like, yeah, Star Kid. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, that's it. It has, like, that type of vibe to it.
With the when he comes in with the bullies.
Yeah.
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 That little childhood wish fulfillment. Now I'm in control of this.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho Gorman's, like, this insane bounty, like, a slayer.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want anything to do with the kids.
And she and the girl is just like this almost intolerable. She's Mimi? So bad.
Mimi. I loved Mimi. Her.
I think she's lovable, but I also think she's just really bad.
Well, she's like that character. She's like the iCarly character, just like to 100.
To 100. Yeah. Everything is like hyped
but like,
up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those characters already are hyped up, and then to take it even further, that actress plays it so well,
mm-hmm.
and I hope she is able to get work in children's media after this, because she's clearly a very talented actress that can understand the complexity of different scenes and line deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
The dad was funny. He was a Jerry.
Yeah.
Like Rick and Morty.
The dad was funny. Yeah, I liked everyone.
Yeah.
I liked everyone in it. It reminded me a bit of Categories when I was watching it.
Mm.
As far as just like how silly I felt it was, and just how like how it used like certain like I guess practical animations in it,
mm-hmm.
where I was just like, also it just made me feel really good when I was watching it. So I was just like, I needed something like this. I was just thinking to myself like, I need something like what Categories did to me when I watched it. I needed something like that again, and then I watched Echo Gorman. I was like, okay. This is it. This is good. Yeah.
Well, I turned down watching it when you first asked me, because I thought you misspelled Corman, like Roger Corman.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you were watching one of his like B-movie alien movies.
Mm.
And I thought you were describing it as Psycho. Like, it's this real Psycho movie. I don't know. And I didn't have interest in that, especially because I just came off a viewing of Mars Attacks.
Ooh.
Gotta say it with the exclamation point. And it didn't do it for me.
It didn't do it?
The first 20 minutes, I was all in. I was ready.
Was that cast, your first time watching it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That cast is marvelous. Stacked. I mean, the opening credits, it's hilarious because names just keep rotating around on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when it's going to end. Then all of a sudden, like, they'll just throw like, oh, and Pam Grier also.
Yeah, Pam Grier, Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Jack Black, Annette Bening, Danny DeVito, like, Jack Nicholson twice. It's not that long. It's 106 minutes. It's too long, though. And it definitely, you know, it was the same. It was a year before Men in Black, and it feels like it was 10 years before. I know it was trying to emulate the 50s,
mm-hmm.
but it's still almost more early 90s than Men in Black, which feels like late 90s, early 2000s. It's this, just the 90s and the 50s not really matching together
mm-hmm.
so well. And I did like the creature designs in this one. I thought the aliens were hilarious, but
yeah, was, those big brains.
Yeah, it just got tiring. I don't know if it aged super well.
Okay, I haven't seen it since.
Yeah,
I was a kid, and it used to come on like TBS all the time.
There were some very funny parts, but towards the end, I was pretty happy for it to be over.
Okay, I watched The Faculty. Well, you watched it for the first time. You should talk about it more.
Oh.
Honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Faculty is, like, it's a Scream.
It's totally a Scream.
It's totally a Scream. Yeah, definitely owes a lot to Scream. It's like what Scream is for the slasher. This is for the Alien movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know Robert Rodriguez made this movie.
I always forget that Robert Rodriguez made this movie.
Yeah.
Always forget.
And it's up there. Like, he's very good at this movie.
His range is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you know it's him because the characters are introduced with freeze frames and their names written in blood on the screen.
Yeah.
Which, he didn't write this movie, and he did edit it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it wasn't in the script that the characters were introduced that way.
Yeah.
I can totally picture him. He just added like
all these little touches.
Yeah, yeah. Lil Baby Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
He's fun. What's her name? Clea DuVall.
Mm-hmm.
Stokely. Though I wish she was gay. Like, there was this whole thing where she's bullied for being gay. But then she's not gay.
She's not gay.
But it's played by a gay actor.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was out at the time. But, like, she gets a lot of shit for that, and,
that one character, really. Jordina's character.
Yeah.
Just keeps teasing her. She's terrible. Everything there's is, like, so hype. There's some lines later
with the other girl character taunting her.
Mm-hmm.
But no, really, really fun movie up there with Scream. I mean, it doesn't reach the same heights because it's kind of playing catch-up, but...
Yeah.
just a fun, like, high school movies are so fun for adding genre elements to it, because you get to do it like on like the same things on a smaller scale, so it's not aliens invading the whole world. I mean, they are, but we're worried about high school.
Yeah, we're worried about high school.
Though,
and changing.
Yeah.
And growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it still has all the 90s teen movie staples.
Yeah.
Just also aliens.
Yeah. I love how wink, wink, nudge, nudge it is about it being just like an homage to everything before it.
Oh, they bring up so many movies.
So many movies, like in the script, but also just like in the visuals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just really nice to see. It'd be like, ah, there it is. Ah, there it is.
Right. We were watching The Faculty, and during one scene, I turned to you and said, want to watch The Thing after this?
And I said, hell yeah.
Yeah, The Faculty, very good warm-up for a revisit to The Thing, a.k.a. episode 32. Go back and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Any more thoughts on The Thing?
No.
Yeah, we put it all out there.
No, put it out there. It's just phenomenal work.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal work.
Yeah.
Still makes me cringe. I still go, ooh, you know?
It's just got to be the best visual effects. It just has to be effects. The
best practical.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Yeah. They built incredible. The mold, they broke it, and then they put it back together. Hasn't been touched since.
Yeah. I watched more Alien movies.
You did? I watched... The last thing I watched was Captain Marvel, which I finally watched because I was just on Disney Plus, and then I saw that, and I was like, oh, hey, Aliens? Yeah, mm-hmm. We're doing Aliens-type things. So
you
I was
hadn't
just
seen
like,
it, right?
No, I hadn't seen it. So I was just like, let me finally do it. Let me finally watch it, because I don't know why I hadn't watched it before. But I enjoyed it, like, a lot. I like Brie Larson. She's really good. I'm glad that she is Captain Marvel. I like the way that they did the origin story with her, like, pretty much being, like, almost fully realized. Except for, like, a piece that was missing out of the puzzle. Just, like, that one piece. It was good to see Samuel Jackson look like Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Yeah. And just, like, the comedy
doesn't
of, like...
Doesn't sound like him, though.
No, the comedy of, like, the cat being, like, this alien with an octopus inside or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was also disguised. And, like, I like when, like, the Marvel movies have, like, really, like, almost, like, prestigious actors in it. And mm-hmm. So Annette Bening was in it. And yeah. She was kind of, like, a bad guy. For a moment, she's like both a good guy and a bad guy.
I saw that movie. I still understand her character. The one, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, she was an alien on Earth that was trying to stop a war, but the person that she saw when she was speaking
I was not asking for it to be explained to me.
Okay.
I was just saying the way it's done in the movie is confusing.
Oh, I got it.
For our listeners, I guess we haven't talked about it since. Like a year ago when we did Black Panther, I gave up Marvel movies. I'm
you
done.
Did.
And television, I guess.
He really did. He's not watching WandaVision.
Wiping
guys.
My hands.
And it's really good.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's crazy.
I saw the Captain Marvel in the theater and it put me to sleep.
It put you to sleep? Goddamn. All right.
Sorry, you can continue. Just I don't need anything explained. I'll be quiet, though. I'll be respectful.
No, I like
that. I'm glad it brought you happiness.
But when I was watching it, I was just like, man, I kind of need to watch Guardians of the Galaxy again. And I need to watch, like,
you
Avengers Endgame
you
again.
Need to. You
and
don't.
I need to watch whatever the other Avengers is again. I need to, like... Because I've seen him before. I was just like, hadn't seen him in a long time. So I couldn't. I followed it. But then I was just like, oh, this guy. I know this guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. But why is he important? And so I just like, need a, I guess, a
He's
refresher.
Not.
He's not.
Not.
He's not. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't even matter.
You're just going to skip over Edge of Tomorrow.
Huh? No, I was waiting for you.
Oh, you said this was the last one you watched. I wanted to show you. Once I found out you hadn't seen Edge of Tomorrow, I've been pushing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought you might like it, and we're doing Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it.
And I liked it.
You liked it.
I did.
The reason watched it the day before Groundhog Day,
yep.
Which was fitting, because it's a time loop.
Mm-hmm. The reason I didn't watch it is because I thought the trailer looked stupid.
Hmm.
The trailer made me laugh, and I don't think it was supposed to make me laugh. And so I was just like, okay, so I'm not watching this. Also, I don't watch anything with Tom Cruise in it except for Mission Impossible.
Oh.
That's it.
I didn't know you had that rule.
That's it. That's all I do. It's a guarantee. Everything else is kind of like, what is this, Tom? The Mummy? What is this, Tom?
Well, I didn't watch The Mummy, but there's still good Tom Cruise movies.
Oh. Are there? Anyway. The one
with Doug Liman, American Made, is pretty good,
too. See, I was about to say American Made.
Did you see that movie?
What is this? I've seen bits and pieces of it.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie? All right. But no, I liked Edge of Tomorrow. It was fun. It was nice because like, he wasn't like a complete badass at the beginning. We got to see him like fumble around and be like a fish out of water for a little bit, which we usually don't see with Tom Cruise in an action movie. You know, he's usually
an already an expert. I'm glad you put in an action movie because we did just do Eyes Wide Shut, where yeah. He's a fish out of water in the whole movie.
Yeah. But in action movies, he's usually, like, capable.
He's the action star.
He's the action star. And this one, he had to, like, be built up by Emily Blunt, who was a great action star, who should be an action star.
Yeah. When I saw that movie in the theater and remember definitely noting, okay, Emily Blunt, next action star. And I have been pretty disappointed that she hasn't really followed up on that potential.
I guess
Sicario, I thought we were going to get that, but then she ended up playing like the rookie who was out of her element.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great in that, but it wasn't the badass character that she showed she can do in Edge of Tomorrow.
I feel like we were going to get more action from her in A Quiet Place 2, but that's been shelved because of COVID. So we won't know until that comes out. Mm. I just remember from the trailer of her like driving backwards like an action star. And I'm like, okay. Some of that Edge of Tomorrow carried over into A Quieter Place. Yeah.
I hadn't seen Edge of Tomorrow, which was retitled Live, Die, Repeat when it came out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to boost sales. Since theaters. So I kind of forgot where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess was Paris.
Yeah.
I was a little worried at one point. Oh, I might have overhyped this movie. Am I going to get called out on the podcast? But no, yeah, still enjoy it.
I enjoyed it.
It's a good rewatch.
Yeah, those aliens were...
Those time
crazy like that alien design and just how they moved.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very peculiar. But yeah, I mean that now that is officially all I've watched.
I watched a couple others, but I don't have much to say about any of them.
Okay. Well then.
So? You know what that leaves us.
What does that mean?
Let's kick off Men in Black History Month with the original Men in Black.
We are the best kept secret in the universe. We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Our mission is to monitor extraterrestrial activity on Earth. We are your best, last, and only line of defense.
Yeah. under arrest for violating sections 4153 of the Tyco Treaty.
Step away from your busted-ass vehicle and put your hands on your head. You know how to use these things?
No idea whatsoever.
Men in Black. Protecting the Earth from the scum of the universe.
Men in Black is a 1997 American science fiction action comedy directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Loosely based on the Men in Black comic book series.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed. Stars Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
Yeah. Will Smith back in the house.
Yeah, we talked about Will Smith a lot in the beginning of this podcast. Been a while.
A lot of Will Smith. So now we're back. Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good.
I mean, this is my favorite Will Smith movie.
Favorite Will Smith movie?
It's this.
I don't think it's this.
We had this discussion before, and I remember yours wasn't mine.
Yeah.
I don't remember what yours
but
was.
But I can't.
Pursuit of Happiness, I think.
Maybe. Possibly.
Or Fresh Prince.
Not a movie.
Oh, I did say movie.
Not a movie. I think I said I Am Legend.
Oh.
I think I said I Am Legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's Men in Black.
It is.
The one we picked for episode 100. Why? Because it's Men in Black. It is Men in Black History Month. It gives us the opportunity to do all four.
Yep.
This is, I mean, it came out when I was 4 years old. One of the first movies I remember, like, knowing about, like, that's a movie, Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And just the black suits and the sunglasses and the neuralizer.
Yeah.
I just have memories of being a kid and just being like, that's the coolest thing.
That's the coolest thing, yeah.
There was a Men in Black laser tag at...
It's a phenomenon. It's
called Discovery Zone, like a non-Chuck E. Cheese, Chuck E. Cheese kind of place
mm-hmm.
that was around for some of my childhood before it went out of business because it wasn't Chuck E. Cheese. But I liked it better because it had the Men in Black laser tag. And every time I revisit it, it's just, oh yeah, it's Men in Black. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's great. It's a good time every time. When I was younger, my mom went to go take me to see this in the movie theater. I remember going to see this in the movie theater and enjoying it and like having like, I don't know, probably popcorn. It's a popcorn movie.
Or is it a popcorn film?
You know, besides just really enjoying the movie, I also remember waking up on Saturday morning to watch the Men in Black cartoon that used to come on WB back when I was a kid. Men in Black was everywhere. It was this huge thing. There's a Universal ride. When I went to Universal last year, I got to do it, and it's still there. It's so old. Like, it just, like, transports you back to, like, the, like, 2000s, like, when they first built it. And pretty much all it is like, that gun scene where, like, the aliens are, like, popping out.
The training,
out.
Right?
Yeah, it's the training.
Yeah.
So you're, like...
That's what the laser tag was inspired by.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's kind of like laser tag, but you're just, like, shooting at the, at the aliens trying to, like, get points. I was terrible. I barely had any points.
Probably going for all the monsters and none of the little girls
exactly.
with the textbooks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we begin Men in Black with the stars, space. And the opening credits, I don't know what this font is called. I just thought it was really interesting, the usage in 1997. It's the really long and skinny font that's used typically now for like to exhibit quirkiness. It's mm-hmm. like look up the poster for Where the Wild Things Are, the Spike Jones adaptation, and it's that poster. Or it's that font. But that's what they use in Men in Black, and it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
They didn't have that character established or connected with that font yet of like the little timid quirkiness. This is more like just goofy font. We're gonna have fun.
I think it's supposed to look like you're connecting like, the stars.
Oh, kinda. The constellation.
So yeah, so like the ends of like Will Smith's like W, like it looks like points, and then it's like real skinny.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting take on that.
Yeah.
And while we see these credits, there's like a dragonfly or like a whatever the space version of a dragonfly is.
Is it a space version? It looks like a dragonfly.
Well, it's. Well, yeah, but it's we know it's aliens, right?
Yeah.
Because it's in space. And we learn later there's bug aliens in space. But it does make its way down to Earth eventually, hitting a windshield.
Mm-hmm.
In the Arizona desert.
Where,
this man I forgot about this opening.
Yeah, this man is, like, driving this truck, and he gets pulled over by the police. And the police are like, what are you doing out here?
It's not the police, it's the Border Patrol.
The Border Patrol.
They're on the, they're in Arizona, crossing mm-hmm. the border from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. So the Border Patrol is like, hey, let me check your back, see what you got back there. Oh, because he said he was fishing. So he said, let me see your catch. And so he goes back there, and there's a bunch of men in the back of the car. So he's like, okay, all right, get out of here, line up. And so they're lined up, and the patrol starts to, like, check them out, ask some questions or whatever. And then the men in black pull up. It's Agent K and Agent B?
D.
Agent D.
It's like they found a guy that makes Tommy Lee Jones look young.
Yeah, they that's the same thing. Yeah, they got someone older than Tommy Lee Jones who's been old forever.
Yeah, that guy should have retired a long time ago. But they pull up, they take like control of the situation, they end up...
Speaking Spanish.
Speaking Spanish. Well, the one Border Patrol agent was speaking Spanish at one point, but he didn't get subtitles. But then Agent K rolls in, and he gets subtitles when he speaks Spanish down the mm-hmm. line. And then eventually someone at the end of the line isn't clearly doesn't understand Spanish because he's like nodding his head at, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, how about if I punch you in the face? And yeah. He's just like, ha, 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 yeah, ha, 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 ha. So he's like, all right, come over here.
Yeah, he pulls him aside, gets mm-hmm. yelled at by the Border Patrol. Who are you? There's no Division 6.
Mm-hmm.
Zap. No, that doesn't happen yet, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't happen yet. They're just off to the side.
They say, we'll take care of this.
Yeah.
You drive off.
And so they take that guy to the side. And
it's not a guy.
It's not a guy. it's an alien. Mikey the alien.
They cut the dude, and then we find out it's a shell. Yeah. He's got the head on like a
on a stick. Yeah.
And he is an alien that escaped from jail.
Mm-hmm. He's breaking
he's on the run.
Breaking a lot of treaties, I think they said. He's breaking a lot of codes. And so they're having a good time. They're kind of joking. And they're going to take him in or whatever. But then one of the Border Patrols comes over to take mm-hmm. a look and spots him.
Yes.
And Mikey spots the patrol officer. And so he, like...
It's a getaway moment.
Yeah, he actually, like, gets, like, really, like, violent and starts, like... approaching him very mm-hmm. quickly. And so Agent K has to shoot him.
Yeah, and it's their cool Men in Black guns. They somehow found a way to make guns look more phallic than guns already look. So it's like the rounded on the edge.
Yeah.
And he shoots, and it's not a bullet. It's
like a plasma.
Gas. Yeah, I don't know. It makes him disintegrate. Into goo. Blue goo all over the Border Patrol agent.
Yup, and he's just like, that was that was like, you can't even like get the complete sentence out.
And then his backup comes, more Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
They got all their guns out. But then Kay's backup comes, and it's like, Border Patrol ain't shit.
Yeah, and so...
here come the Men in Black.
The Men in Black are, like, setting things on fire. They're, like, burning everything down because it's been contaminated. And so Kay is just like, hey, I need you guys to look into this thing right mm-hmm. here. And then he zaps him.
Yeah.
With the Neuralizer. Neuralizer was such a fun concept thing yeah. that, like, took over, like, pop culture.
so, that takes their memory away. So Agent K just makes up a story about the gas main exploding. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Agent D is sorry that he didn't take the shot at Mikey when he had the chance. We mentioned that. He's old. We did mention that.
Yes.
And he says, you know what? It's time.
It's time.
So now he's getting neuralized as well.
Mm-hmm.
And right before he gets neuralized, he says, I won't miss the chase. Because they're old men. And then we cut right away to a chase.
Yeah.
Here's someone who won't miss the chase because this is his element.
Yep. And he's young, strapping. He's Will Smith.
Oh, love watching him run.
James. He's chasing a man. That's pretty hard to catch.
Because he's not really a man.
Nope. He's able to, like, scale a wall at one point during the chase.
He does, like, the Tenet bungee, but without a bungee.
Yeah. that's what it looks like. And, am I going to call him James or am I going to call him Will Smith? I don't know.
Well, he becomes Agent J. Right now he's Officer Edwards.
Yeah.
He can be Will Smith, though. Will Smith almost gets him,
mm-hmm.
but then he parkours out of his reach.
Yeah, and now they're on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the roof, and he's got him cornered, and the guy's just like, the end of your kind is near, or mm-hmm. whatever. Like,
he's coming.
He's coming. Ended. And then he like blinks both sets of his eyes, and it like trips Will Smith up, and then...
Oh, that he has gills.
Yeah, his gills. And then he, like, walks to the edge, and he just jumps off.
Yeah.
Kills himself. Yeah.
Meanwhile, on a farm... upstate New York, we mm-hmm. meet Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Vincent D'Onofrio. In my opinion, the most underrated part of this movie, and we'll get into it in later weeks, but I think that's why the sequels don't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of Men in Black is great, but people forget how great Vincent D'Onofrio's performance is and the whole idea of Edgar.
Yeah.
Anyway, we meet him in his human form, and yep. he's an asshole.
He's an asshole. He berates his wife
calling the food she cooked him inedible. It must be poison. Then yeah. she starts taking it away, and he says, well, don't take my food away. And the way this is shot is all in... the camera doesn't move. It's outside their little farmhouse, and mm-hmm. we just see the field, and we hear the arguing, and then we see the UFO coming into the frame, crashing down, and he says something about the only thing, like,
that I love, or yeah, that's dependable, or whatever.
Is my car. Is my truck, and then it hits the truck.
Yeah. And so then he comes out with his shotgun to check on what happened. And he goes over to the hole, and there's a voice that's coming from inside mm-hmm. the hole that's saying, like, hey, drop your weapon.
And he says, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
And they're like, okay.
I accept.
And pulls him down. And then there's just, like, a lot of commotion where it sounds like he's being, like, swallowed
mm-hmm.
and ripped apart, I guess, or whatever happening. And
his insides taken out to make room for
whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we see him emerge. And he is very different looking.
You got that glow up.
Yeah. Glow down.
I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio just plays a guy who has a bug, alien bug inside of him.
He has a bug inside of him.
He does it so well.
Yeah.
Oh, just like the loose neck and the awkward jerky movements.
Yeah, the walk, which is so tight, and he's just like swinging his body. And so, yeah, he comes back in the house and he's just like, I need sugar with water. Mm-hmm. And so his wife has to make him like this cup of, like, that's like 5% water and 95% sugar. And he drinks the whole thing. And she's like, you look different. Like, your skin is hanging off your bones. Yeah. And so he, like, he pulls his skin all the way back. And he's just like, is this better?
Makes
and
then pass out.
She passes out.
Yep. So now he's left alone. So he can go take a look at his spaceship, which is no good.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the city, at the police precinct,
James Edwards is being questioned.
Yeah, it's interesting how they shoot this, because he is a police officer, mm-hmm. but they have him sitting in the interrogation room
mm-hmm.
with two other officers standing above him, hovering.
Yeah.
And he's wearing this orange jumpsuit with the top half tied around and then the white jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess he has the street clothes on, but also, like, the orange is the same color as
prisoner
jumpsuits. I don't quite know what to make of it. I mean, they show that he doesn't quite belong in the... We see that he's very good at his job, and then mm-hmm. we see immediately now that he's doesn't belong in the organization and he's not appreciated.
Well, they just don't believe him because he's telling them all of the details.
Right, but it's like more than that. I don't know. Yeah, he has this whole story about the alien jumping. Yeah. It's crazy.
And so they're just like grilling him like, so you mean, they're like, so when but you...
Like, we see him and his partner don't get along at all. Like, yeah. His partner's completely talking down to him.
Yeah. He's also older as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's like this total disconnect. There's a woman, her name is Weaver, Dr. Weaver. She believes him, but as she exits the room, she meets Agent K, who's just like, could you look at this? And then we mm-hmm. see the flash again.
Just in the background.
Yeah, just in the
from
background.
From the other side of the glass.
And so K introduces himself to James, and it's just like, come with me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, man, I got paperwork to do. Who are you anyway? And he's just like, your paperwork is done. And so his boss or his partner or whatever comes back in and is just like, yo, man, great job. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so Agent K is the first one to take Will Smith's story seriously.
Yeah.
And so it says, would you recognize the weapon if you saw it again?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're on their way to Jack Jeebs's pawn shop, where Will Smith is familiar with his operation, that he says he just sells fake Rolexes.
Yeah.
Turns out he's got a little more going on.
Mm-hmm. Agent K holds Jeeves at gunpoint,
mm-hmm.
and Will Smith is just playing along. He's just like, yeah, this guy's crazy. He'll shoot you. He'll actually do it. And then when he gets to three and he shoots him, he's just like, whoa! Like, he pulls out his gun on him, like, drop your weapon. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
But then we hear Jeeves' voice again as his head starts to grow back.
Yeah. At which point, Jeeves flips over, the table flips over from the fake Rolexes to alien weaponry.
Yeah.
Which he sells from his pawn shop because he is an alien. Will Smith ends up getting his memory taken away.
Well, yeah, first he's able to identify the gun.
Right.
Yeah. And then he flashes him. But he also still takes him out to dinner
mm-hmm.
and gives him an MIB card. MIB yeah. card. Yeah.
Yeah. Says, check us out.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Edgar, or the bug.
The bug. Kills an exterminator.
Yeah.
Yeah. For killing, wanting to kill the roaches.
Because he's a bug.
Yeah.
So he sees the exterminator. I mean, fuck that guy, right? He takes the exterminator's like spray and shoves it down his throat
and sprays it.
It's a pretty wild death.
Yeah.
And then steals his truck.
Mm-hmm. Next day is orientation.
Everyone sit in an egg chair.
Yep, egg chair time. This scene's really funny because they're all just super serious, and Will Smith is not. He's just like, no one knows why we're here, but you guys are just like the best of the best.
Yeah.
We're here because we're the best of the best. And he's just like, what?
He plays that scene so well, and he's so perfect for it. Of just like, are you guys seeing this? But like, no one else being like relaxing. And
yeah,
it's they're really all just at the audience. We're the only people like, yeah,
yeah.
And that's what makes, I don't know, that's part of what makes Will Smith so great, is he really brings you in.
Mm-hmm. And so they have to take like this written exam part, and no one is comfortable. Everyone, they can't write their fucking holes in their paper. And so he sees the table and he just drags it over to him.
That's smart.
It's a smart thing to do, right? I mean, it's loud.
I probably would have just sat on the floor, I think.
I probably would have just moved over to the table and sat on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he drags it over to him and everyone just looks at him like, what?
He's still probably the only person that's able to actually fill out that form.
Yeah.
Then we have the shooting practice that we talked about, where a lot of strobe lights, big production, really selling you on this idea of the laser tag or the universal theme park ride experience. But no, instead of all the aliens that are getting shot at by all the other recruits, Agent J fires a single shot.
A single shot.
To what appears to be a young white girl with a...
School books,
but it's like quantum physics.
Yeah, it's quantum
she's
physics.
She's too young for that.
Yeah, she's up to something.
What's she doing in this neighborhood?
What is she doing in this neighborhood? She's suspicious, and yeah, he explains it, and Zed is just like, okay, I guess I kind of buy it.
Yeah, he has the whole speech about why little Tiffany needed to die.
Pretty much.
Meanwhile, Agent K is behind the mirror, the one-way mirror.
Yeah.
Because the men in black are very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
And Zed walks back there and they, like, confer, you know, maybe this guy.
Yeah, K is really just like, yeah, this guy's good. He's going to be good, you know?
So everyone's taken to a eye examination, which we know is just the neuralizer.
Mm-hmm. Except for Jay. Except for Jay, yeah.
Who's told the truth about aliens very nonchalantly as we do a walk and talk.
Yeah, the first aliens he sees are the worms.
Well, yeah, he doesn't believe the stories that Agent K is telling him, and he has some files, and he's just like, okay, I'm going to go. So then Agent K opens the door to the break room to just be like, well...
Well,
check out these worms in the coffee.
You want some coffee? You sure? He has such a great, like, slow realization, like, because he kind of looks like, where are the strings?
He does his looks and, like, the way he performs, like, the change in perspective or feeling.
Yeah.
Just, I never appreciated how nuanced Will Smith's, like, reactions are.
Yeah.
Because they're so big, but there's. Yeah, there's a lot in there.
There's. So, yeah, Agent K gives him time to consider, pretty much.
Yeah, he says...
Take the night.
Yeah, you have until sunrise to tell me. And Agent J's pretty into it, but he says, what's the catch? And K says, well, you have to be cut off from all human contact.
Yeah, you pretty much have to die.
We know nothing about Agent J's personal life, so this sacrifice doesn't
mean anything. Yeah,
that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because you would think that guy, like, based on how awesome he is.
And charismatic, like, he is.
You would want to be his friend.
He would have friends, he would have family.
Yeah.
He would have parents or something, yeah. But no, he is just ready to give it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And take some time. He's back in the morning.
I wish I could enter a new job with the level of confidence that Will Smith enters the Men in Black.
Yeah.
He is so assured.
Yeah.
They have this moment with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in the elevator where Will Smith is like, okay, I'm here, but remember, you wanted me. You recruited me.
So
don't
you,
call me son. Don't call
he's
me
like,
kid.
So you recognize the skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows his worth.
Yeah.
And then he's shown the Men in Black,
the whole thing.
And Tommy Lee Jones says, "You know what your skills mean?" And then he opens the doors. Dick. And then we get that shot where the camera pans out through. You get to see the whole office and humans commingling with these creatures, and mm-hmm. it's like an immigration center almost, but for aliens.
For aliens, yeah.
Some wacky creatures there.
Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, you know, he's trying to figure out like who do we report to? Okay. There we go. Who do we report to? Like the FBI? And he's just like, no, they ask too many questions. And so he's just like, so how do you get all this money? And he's like, we got a couple patents on things that came from aliens, like Velcro and liposuction. He's really funny. And so we also see that Agent J is...
He becomes Agent J. He gets the last suit he'll ever need.
Yep.
And he gets his fingerprints taken off.
Yep, burned off.
Then we go back to check in with Edgar.
He's watching a man with his cat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all we see.
He's got a cat in a bag, and he's got like a doodad he's carrying around. It looks like a generic movie MacGuffin plot device thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it to the city. He's in the city in that exterminator's truck
mm-hmm.
with the UFO in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see that. He's stalking someone.
Now,
Agent J gets his first assignment.
Yeah. What's the assignment?
An alien. Aliens on the loose. There's an alien in New Jersey that is supposed to only be in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah, Agent K's a fast driver, and Jay should have listened to him when he...
Jay's like trashing. He says, you have all this money, and yet you're driving a Ford POS. And then he gets it, and he won't fasten the seatbelt.
Yeah.
And it's...
He just backs up really quick.
He should have.
And then he almost touches the red button, and K tells him, never touch the red button.
Yeah, that might come back.
Which is just a really great Act 1 gun.
Yeah, it's Chekhov's red button. Back to Rosenberg, who's
the man with the cat, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's...
He meets with Lurch.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
It's Lurch.
It is Lurch.
Mm-hmm. It's also the... I forget his name, but he was also in Twin Peaks. But yeah, he meets with Lurch, who we saw earlier at the like MIB immigration line thing. He like just got here, so they're having a meeting. They gotta leave. Like, we gotta get out of here. The bug's here. Pretty much, they know that the bug's here.
In comes Edgar, who got like a chef's apron.
Yeah.
And he murders them.
Yep. Gives them their pierogies, and then they're like, what are you going to do? Kill us? And then he does. He kills them.
How would you describe the kill? Like, bug limbs emerge.
Yeah, it's like...
All he does is, like, creak his neck, and that...
It's like a tail or something, right? It's like a... Like a stinger. It's a stinger. Stings them in the neck.
It goes through them, though.
Doesn't it?
And he grabs the doodad thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, got some gems on it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks important.
Yeah.
He thinks it's the galaxy.
Yep. So he runs off with it.
Meanwhile, Agent J's really trial by fire. Because they pull over the alien's car, and it just looks like human beings with a pregnant woman in the back.
Mm-hmm.
K takes aside the driver, leaving Jay... with the pregnant alien woman.
Yeah, and Jay has to, like, deliver the baby.
Some tentacles grabbing him in the background.
I love how when he looks in there, he's just like, oop, okay, something's looking back. And then, like, it just grabs him. And it's just, like, tossing him around until... it spits him out of the car, but it also is in his hand at the same time. and it's a little squid baby. Agent K learns that they're running. Mm-hmm. They're running away because they know that something's coming.
He realizes something's up because why would you be running away if your wife just gave birth?
Yeah, like why would you risk it if you're only... Yeah, it goes...
It's funny. They get back in the car and Kay's like, don't you think something's off about that?
Yeah.
He's pointing to the fact that she's pregnant and they're running. But Jay is still trying to process the whole alien
thing. The whole alien baby thing. It's all very weird to him.
So then they go to the newsstand to get some leads, because according to Agent K, the tabloids are the finest investigative journalism we have, because they post all the stories about people who claim they saw UFOs, including one from Edgar's wife. So that's their lead. So they go to the farm. They get an interrogation going.
Asks her some questions. She tells him about the sugar water. And about how it looked like someone was wearing his skin. And I think that's enough information for them.
Yeah, the sugar water's enough for Agent K to know that it's a bug.
Yeah.
So he zaps her.
He zaps her.
And Jay's like not so cool with the zapping.
Yeah.
Or at least he wants to add more to the memory.
More pizzazz.
Yeah.
He wants a happy ending.
He wants to leave happiness in their minds.
Yeah.
Instead of just emptiness.
So when he does it, he's just like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Your man, he ran off with
an ex,
but you're going to be good. You're going to move in. You're going to go to your sister's. You're going to get a few dresses.
You're going
to
call an interior decorator because damn.
gave her some goals to do. Jay goes outside and he like, checks the soil with this like utensil and it glows green and he's like, yeah, it's a bug. And
I hope they wouldn't be green.
Yeah, because alien bugs are the worst, apparently.
I mean, earth bugs are pretty bad, so one can only imagine.
You can only imagine. Oh my goodness.
So, man, I don't remember how that leads them to the morgue, but it does. I guess because Agent K knows that the bugs take human bodies as shells. I don't know. They get to the morgue is the next thing I wrote down.
Well, the two alien men are taken to the mortician, and it's Dr. Weaver. And Dr. Weaver is doing, like, the autopsy, and she's checking things, and she's just like, whoa. She's kind of shocked at what she finds. And then Jay and K walk in.
Yeah, they're pretending to be doctors.
Yeah.
Kay looks at the corpse by himself while Jay is taken to Dr. Weaver to look at a different one. And Jay's very bad at posing as a doctor.
Yeah. She asks him to, like, dig into the dead body, and he has to, like, dig into the dead body. He has no idea what he's feeling for, and so he's just like, everything's fine, and she's like, no, everything's missing.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there.
It's like, yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what that meant, yeah.
I feel like only Will Smith could get back from that, like, with his charisma and charm. Because there's some flirtation happening.
There's some flirtation.
While their hands are inside another human.
And they're also just like, haven't I seen you before? Like, they have this sense of deja vu that they've met each other before, but neither of them remember because they've both been neutralized.
So they see something on the ear, and Jay, like, tickles the earlobe, and this causes the head to open up, revealing...
a very tiny alien inside.
Yeah.
And he is on the verge of death himself, and he tells them that the key to
prevent the war.
To prevent a war is on Orion's belt.
Yeah, the galaxy is on Orion's belt.
Yeah.
We did see in close-ups of the cat earlier that the cat's... I guess this is a spoiler, but it's Men in Black. You know what I mean. This idea was introduced to me when I was very young, and it still trips me out. The galaxy is inside the cat's little bell.
Yeah.
On the collar.
It's on the belt.
The cat Orion. Is named Orion.
Mm-hmm.
So Weaver once again gets her memory erased.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's seen too much.
She has to get it erased twice. She comes back. Yeah. She comes back and he's just like, doom. And she's like, Jay's just like, hey, man, like, come on. Like, how many times have you done this? Are you going to give her like brain cancer or something? He's very worried about what that thing does to the mind.
So Edgar's in the back of his truck with the doodad he believes to be the galaxy, just banging it, hitting it against anything. Yeah.
And it does open. But it's just diamonds.
It's just jewels.
He didn't want the diamonds.
That's worthless to aliens.
Yep. So now he's pissed.
Back at the Men in Black offices.
Kay checks on a woman.
Yeah, we have these two things happening. One is Agent K's at the computer and enhancing, like hitting enhance on a keyboard. It's taking a long time. Meanwhile, we're cutting between that and Agent J is talking to Zed. Agent Zed, about the case. So you think the two things are related.
Yeah.
But it turns out Agent K is just looking at a woman.
Yeah, someone he misses from his past life that he gave up.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like this super futuristic drone technology, but then like the toolbar underneath the camera frame is so Windows 97 with like that clunky gray, like fake 3D.
So there's a battleship approaching.
Yeah, that's what happens. Zed noticed the battleship, the Arkillian battleship. And they have a message, but it needs to be translated.
So they're going to go out in the streets. They're going to hit the streets.
But first, Jay needs a weapon.
Yep.
So he gets the Noisy Cricket.
Which is just like the tiniest little pistol you ever could imagine. It's so little. And he's just like, oh, man, I'm going to break this thing.
Nah, it's going to break
him. It's going to break him. So the bug is breaking and entering into, what's his name, Rosenberg?
Yeah.
Rosenberg's place, smashing everything, and then he looks up and see the picture with the cat and notices what's supposed to be the bell the is actually Marvel. Something else. Yeah.
The galaxy, actually.
It's the galaxy. And so
But his truck is being towed outside because it's New York City. You know, parking. New York City. And K and J show up.
Yeah, and they're just like, who breaks into a jewelry store and doesn't sell jewelry? Someone who's not looking for jewelry. And so, actually, J also looks up at the picture. No, actually, no. J figures it out later. Not at this moment. Yeah. They notice the commotion outside.
Yeah, they hear gunshot. And it's sure enough, it's Edgar with the gun shooting the guy towing his truck. Edgar takes the tow truck, drives away, and Jay opens fire with the Noisy Cricket.
Which it sounds like a cricket. You hear the
chirp.
The little chirping sound.
And then it sounds like a giant fucking explosion.
Yeah.
And Will Smith being blasted back, shot through, back into the windshield of a car.
Yeah. It happens twice. Like, he gets blown back twice. I thought the first time would have been like, whoa, this thing is crazy. But he does it again. The second time he does it is really funny because he goes into the windshield. And so now there needs to be a massive cleanup.
Yeah.
The MIB needs to come out and clean the area and, like, neuralize everyone.
Yeah, Kay's mad that Jay did that, but Jay says the threat's wild. And then there's this moment where Kay's like, yeah, but these people, like, they're happy because they don't know about it.
Yeah.
And that just made me think about our country's intelligence agencies and the military and the horrible evil that they do under the auspices of keeping us happy and how unhappy that makes me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the alien battleship has, the Acrylian language has been deciphered and they want the galaxy.
Yeah. So it's not a peaceful message.
Nope.
Edgar's on the street. Asking a souvenir shop guy, where do you keep your dead?
Yeah.
And he is led to the morgue.
Yeah.
After smashing all of his stuff. Edgar takes some postcards on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Now we meet Frank.
Frank the pup.
Who's a big hit in this movie, only in one scene, and then it's that... We'll get into it next week, but they do that sequel thing where they take a character that was good because it was only used a little bit.
And yeah. Like,
they maybe overdo it. We'll see.
He's definitely a big part of the cartoon.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have to see this cartoon. I missed out on
a
bunch of Saturday morning programming.
Yeah, we got a few things.
Synagogue.
It is in this moment, after they leave Frank, that Frank actually barks at a cat. And Jay looks up at the cat and notices the bell on the cat. And he's just like, oh, it's on the cat.
Yeah, because Frank has this whole talk about how humans think size matters. The galaxy's actually very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it works because we just had that scene with the little gun actually being very powerful. So
yeah.
It really makes you reconsider your perception.
So back at the morgue, Weaver is checking on the body when the cat jumps on the body. Yep. And so she gets a really close look at the necklace, and she glances inside.
Yeah,
and
it's Kevin Garnett looking at the opal.
Yeah. Yeah, she, like, her eyes light up, and you can see the galaxy inside of her eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's marvelous.
And in come...
The bug. The bug stops at the morgue.
Bug takes a stop at the morgue.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to get the cat. He's got Weaver hostage.
Yeah.
But stopped by Agent J and K. The Men in Black show up.
Mm-hmm.
And now Edgar's conspicuously gone.
Yeah.
The Weaver's trying to drop hints to Agent J that she's been taken hostage.
Yeah, she's like, no, you're going to want to see this.
But he does not pick up on it. He thinks she's flirting with him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Agent K's lighting a cigarette and then notices something dripping and looks up. And it's the body of Edgar, like,
it's
stuck
the,
to the ceiling.
It's the clerk.
Yeah, it's the guy Edgar killed, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, it's the clerk that was killing the bugs.
Right.
For some reason, I feel like he pops up in the sequel. I'm not sure. I think he does.
We did skip over David Cross.
Yeah.
David Cross is in this as a guy that kills bugs and is killed. I guess we'll see. We'll see next week or in 2 weeks, depending on which sequel he might be in. We'll keep our eyes open.
Yeah.
For more David Cross. Because it's David Cross month.
Oh my goodness.
we get a fight with Edgar.
Yeah, the bug is able to, like, leap out the window with his super strong bug legs and then jump into, like, from, like, under the street, on top of the street, and, like, make his getaway. And a taxi cab with Weaver.
He's got his hostage
He's got a hostage.
She's going to take him to the World's Fair.
Mm-hmm. And so Jay is like, we got to get him on foot. And so he's, like, out there running, looking for, like, a cab. But it's New York. There's cabs everywhere. And so Kay just takes his time, gets in the car, and then picks him, like, hey, get inside. He's not going to leave Planet.
He doesn't have the ship.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ship. Yeah. He's not going to leave. So, like, just get in the car. Let's go.
Meanwhile, the Men in Black headquarters managed to decode even more of the message. It says, Men in Black deliver a galaxy, or the planet will be destroyed. Sorry.
Sorry. We don't make the rules, but we will destroy you.
So they fire a warning shot, and everyone in the headquarters is freaking out, but they don't understand the
threat. They shoot, like, Antarctica.
Yeah. Did they shoot Santa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shot the North Pole.
Yeah. No one thinks that Edgar, even though he has the galaxy and he has Weaver and my son, he can't get away except Jay, clever guy he is.
Yeah.
He remembers the very first image he saw in the files of the aliens from the World's Fair of those ships, and he realizes that those ships are still active.
Yeah.
We better run.
Yep.
let's take the tunnel.
Let's take the tunnel. Isn't the tunnel going to be full? Yeah. Remember that red button I told you not to push?
Push it.
Push it. And so Jay pushes the button, but he's not buckled in. So it like turns the car into like, I don't know, some type of like turbo car with like rockets in the back.
Yeah.
And it goes on the ceiling of the tunnel, and they're just able to like go past everyone.
That's the dream.
Yeah. And nobody remembers seeing the car on top of the tunnel because the rocket lights are also the neuralizing lights. Mm-hmm. So they also forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just really, really good physical comedy from Will Smith.
Yeah, just
he's who has to go
against
from
the
like,
windshield.
Yeah,
meanwhile, this is the only time in the movie we see Tommy Lee Jones being like the cool guy.
Yeah, listening to Elvis.
He just puts in the music. He says, "Hey, you need to relax.
You need to relax, man."
So now we have the big standoff at the World's Fair.
Mm-hmm. The bug is going to take Weaver on his journey because he's going to need a snack. But she's able to fight him off and like free herself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to like go back down for her. So he just continues up to the ship.
But he starts to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay, shot down.
Yeah, Jay and Kay pull up. And they pull out the big guns. And yeah, mm-hmm. Agent J finally gets a big gun.
Yeah, it's like a triple barrel intergalactic mm-hmm. shotgun.
Yeah, and as the bug is taking off, they're able to shoot it down out of the sky.
Yeah, big face off.
Big face off. Literally, big face off.
Yeah, ooh.
Yeah.
I like when the spaceship's shot down, it's like the smoke and the light from behind showing Edgar. This is the big villain moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, his face comes off.
Yeah,
he reveals himself.
They think they got him, and they're just like, put your hand on your head. And he's like, you want me to put my hands on my head like this? And then he just rips his skin off, and he's this giant bug.
He's a giant bug.
He's a giant, evil-looking bug.
You get the reaction shot as he's like, because maybe they didn't render the full animation of the bug coming out of the skin and getting up to its full height. But also, they show just through the reaction of Will Smith's face just, like, tilting up.
Yeah.
And, like, going from confident to scared.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
Big, big threat. And he eats their guns.
He eats their guns. So now they don't have no weapons. And Kay, the madman that he is, he just pretty much tells Jay to like keep him on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go get my gun. And so he like is just like, hey, man, eat me.
Eat me.
And he does. He gets eaten. Yeah. He gets swallowed whole. And Agent Jay is left behind to like
distract him.
Pretty much keep by smack-talking him. Yeah.
Not just smack-talking him, he ends up stepping on cockroaches and saying, oh, is this your family?
Yeah, that's the only thing that actually gets his attention because, mm-hmm. like, he's able to just, like, throw Agent J around all over the floor, like, wherever, like, he's not a threat at all. But it's when he starts, like, he's like, oh, is that your uncle? So this must be your auntie. Squash! And so it gets him to come back down and face him. And he's just like, yo, you better get those things out of my face before there be some trouble. And then you hear like the sound of like the gun loading. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, too late. And then there's like this giant explosion.
Yeah, Agent K shoots from inside.
Yeah, out of his stomach.
Leaving J and K covered in so much goo. You thought there was a lot of goo before in this movie. It's like
disgusting.
Yeah.
And there's like a glob
the way
of it
glimmers
on Tommy,
off of their suits.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones has like, it's like he has on this white shirt and now it's see-through. Mm. Now that's how much
just like
goo is on there.
Slime and goo is just such a big part of the just children's media in that
it
time.
Is. Mm-hmm. The 90s and the 80s.
Why don't kids today go crazy over goo? Is it because they have the internet?
Yeah.
They have Fortnite.
So yeah, that's why. They don't need goo.
They don't need slime.
We needed slime. I'm glad we had slime.
Me too. So, the battle's over.
Or is it?
Because you see the half walking around, is that why you're...
Yeah, lurking? The half is like lurking around in the background the where they're talking. The
yeah.
And they're just chatting, they think it's over. Mm-hmm. And then it's about to eat Jay. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's over Jay.
It's coming.
And then it's blasted.
Yeah,
and
who then is
we,
it?
We turn and look, and it's Dr. Weaver.
And she's about to get the neuralizer.
Mm-hmm.
Or is she?
Nope.
Kay pulls it out. Turns out it's not for her. It's for him.
Yeah.
Jay wasn't intended being trained to be the new partner. He was being trained to be the replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he wants to, like, give it all up and...
Yeah, I mean, he probably saw his partner in the beginning of the movie and was like, damn, this guy spent way too much of his life working for them. Yeah. I'm gonna retire while I still have some...
And we saw earlier, we saw him looking at a woman. So we know that he has someone that he misses from his life.
He says to Agent J, I'll see you later. And Agent J says, no, you won't. And he zaps him.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some of the narrative tidied up with a classic movie trying to give you some information device of showing newspaper headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to Citizen Kane, a movie which I've seen.
And it says, man awakens from 35 years coma, and it's a picture of Agent K with the woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, just like people suspecting UFO involvement, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's taking it seriously because it's in the...
It's in the tabloids.
And we get to meet Agent L.
Yep, who's Dr. Weaver.
Yeah, she's on the team. She did not get her memory erased.
Yeah, awesome.
She was recruited.
Yep. She's Jay's new partner.
And then we do... I mean, I love the ending so much.
Yeah, even like the score for this mm-hmm. is really great. And then it's like that pull-out, pass-out the planets
this old,
out of the galaxy.
There's this old video. I think it's called To the Power of 10. We used to watch it in like... science classes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's from like the 70s or the 80s where it like zooms out to the power of 10
mm-hmm.
from like a picnic and it does this thing where it goes into the galaxy and then it zooms in again. And it I'm sure it was inspired by that, but this is like CGI rendered, full Hollywood production. This zoom out is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole galaxy is just this marble in like a surrealist painting almost.
Yeah.
With those like Salvador Dali-esque mountains in the backdrop.
And there's like an alien.
Aliens just playing marbles.
Just playing marbles. And our galaxy is just one of many marbles that they have.
It's scooped up by this tentacle and put in like a bag of marbles, which are all galaxies.
Yeah.
Trippy.
Makes you think. It makes you think. Is Men in Black a movie or a film? You like how I did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men in Black. Man, I feel like...
Ooh, let's shake the table, though. You know what I mean?
Like,
let's shake it up.
Kind of gives away what I am going to answer for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, boy.
It's not going to be a lot of suspense, right? But I think Men in Black is a movie.
It's a movie. I agree. Totally.
I was kind of hoping you would say film.
Oh. It has no nuance, no depth.
But... Okay. I don't think it has that much depth, but... I feel like it has the kind of stuff that you sometimes point to as evidence of being a film. But...
Yeah, I think it's a movie film, like that, sometimes when you say it like that. I think it's like...
Okay.
Okay.
No, we agree. It's a movie.
Yeah.
You probably saw that one coming.
Or did you?
Is Men in Black. That was episode 100.
That's 100.
Yeah.
That's 100, guys.
We did it.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, us. Thank you.
Woo!
And thank you, you.
Thank you, listener. You.
Even if this is your first episode, thank you for being with us for this one.
Yeah.
And join us next week for more Men in Black. That's what we're all about this month.
That's what we're all about. We're all about that Men in Black history.
Tweet us at Movie Film Pod, or check out the same handle on Instagram or Facebook to wish us a happy 100 episode. Or tell us your favorite Men in Black moment. Be sure to tag at Movie Film Pod or email moviefilmpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Because we are movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
We did it.
We are the Men in Black.
We are.
I want you to remember.